This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
If you're more on the aggressive side and think that's where Brandon Bean will go, Brian Thomas Jr. seems to make the most sense to me.
Look at the value of the franchise. What are they saying now? The Bills could be up to like $4 billion. The money is silly money. They can get somebody to give them close to $1 billion for 25% of the team, maintain control, take care of all their cost overruns. It really doesn't surprise me that they're looking to do this.
Mike Danger.
Power washer. Is there anything more satisfying? When you do a good power washing and it gets everything up and out, oh, fantastic. I've got momentum now. Momentum is back. Momentum engaged.
Gene Battaglia.
I'm believing the Bills will go somewhere other than wide receiver in round one.
What has you believing that?
Just positional value. And you mentioned the cost control and all those things we don't think about.
Right.
Hey, Lindy.
The Sabres made the announcement that Lindy Ruff will, in fact, be the head coach moving forward.
Hey, Sabres fans. Lindy Ruff here. I'm honored to be the next head coach of the Buffalo Sabres.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger Battaglia. And Gene, I don't want to waste any time. We've got a legend waiting on hold. Lee Steinberg making his inaugural visit into the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Lee, how crazy a time of year is it for somebody like you who's done what you've done for as long as you've done?
This is the most exciting time of year. And there's a generalized amnesty on truth-telling by general managers or other personnel at this point. In other words, they're not telling the world in a newspaper interview or article or a draft projection. No franchise is telling the world what they're really going to do. So it's a little hard to follow. When I have a high draftee, teams are pretty honest about what their intentions are, and they will tell you, trying to do their advance work, if we get in position, we're going to take the player. And then draft night itself is amazing because draft time is not real time. It's like water torture time. Every second seems like a minute. And so if you're sitting waiting with the athlete to get drafted high, It ratchets the tension up over and over again, and then all of a sudden it explodes when the player's picked into this joy, and you're surrounded in most cases by every relative, every coach that ever coached the player, his teammates, so it's a mass celebration.
Yeah, Lee, from the outside, we love the draft. And really, we don't know what it's like. We see it in the movies. We see it in Jerry Maguire, which, by the way, you had a cameo in. And, you know, in that movie, the player didn't want to go somewhere else. And, all right, he gets traded. How often does that happen for an agent where you have to navigate something where your client doesn't want to go to a specific team?
It all happens behind the scenes. So the trick in it is to try to get a player to the franchise that's best. So suppose you have a quarterback. Now, we've seen a number of quarterbacks not make it who were high draft picks, and that's a function of the fact that the organization, the ownership, the structure, the coaching are the critical factors. So that you would like a player to go to a place where they have a support cast, and they also have a plan to integrate that player slowly into the pro game because it's so much quicker and faster. So behind the scenes, discussions are happening, but you don't want to have it appear like this player's too big for his britches, he's defying the NFL, even though I don't think the draft has any sacred foundation to it. It's not like it was handed down by God to Moses on Mount Sinai. It's just a control system. But it doesn't give a player any choice. And, I mean, for example, Caleb Williams was pretty outspoken on wanting to go to a good franchise and seems to have been assured by what Chicago told him.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, Chicago doing a lot to make it appear as if when Caleb Williams gets there, he'll have all the tools he needs to succeed. It's super agent Lee Steinberg stopping by the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester. We have a saying here, Lee, and we talk about it a lot when we talk about NFL franchises, that dysfunction starts at the top. And you've done this a long time, and you've worked with, I'm guessing, every franchise. Is that statement true? I mean, when you see an owner who might be a little bit more meddlesome than they need to be, do you see those teams as a little bit more challenging to work with or to get results from?
Absolutely. So look, there are all sorts of parity mechanisms that are supposed to ensure that teams will rebuild for a few years, they'll be on top for a few years. So when you see it happen that a team either sits at the top like the Patriots did and the Chiefs are doing now, or simply can't ever get there, you have to look first at the owner, the quality of stability, the vision that that person has, the ability to hire the right front office that knows how to draft and trade and negotiate, and then a coach who has a plan. Any plan can work as long as it's consistent and you have the players for it. So there's absolutely the case that winning franchises, notwithstanding the draft or free agency, are going to continually, year after year, be competitive. And you like players going to those teams.
Yeah, Lee, in getting ready to talk to you today, it was perfect timing on NFL Network. They're running their series, Caught in the Draft, and just kind of reliving some of those great drafts. And one of the things we may have forgotten about, the system now, it's pretty cut and dry. This is the offer. This is what you're going to be making. It always wasn't that. And the thing in these documentaries, one of the buzzwords, signability, was always something that was always coming up. How were you able to kind of make your clients and work with GMs and owners just to say, hey, that's not going to be an issue here with us?
By saying exactly that. So, you know, I've had 64 first-round draft picks and the very first pick in the first round 8 different years. And it's a balance between today, there just is no negotiability for players picked in the draft because it's all capped. And so the team will max out the maximum amount they can ever pay, and that's that. In the older days, we used to have World War III trying to get a player into camp, and you didn't want the player to hold out because if Philip Rivers, for example, held out the year I had Roethlisberger and gave Drew Brees a chance to resurrect his career. So you also have to keep career development of a player in the mix, and the fact that if you have a young quarterback or an offensive lineman, they need every rep in training camp, and they better get there on time. The one productive part of the cap, which is a system I don't think is necessary, but the one productive part of it is it gets players into camp on time because there's no truncated negotiation process.
Lee, we were just having a conversation about how challenging it is to try to predict where players will land, and everybody does their own mock draft, and very rarely is there any accuracy to any of the mock drafts. And when it comes to the prospects, a couple of things that I'm curious about. Intellect is something that we, as people that watch these prospects, don't know a lot about how smart they are, how quickly they'll be able to pick up an NFL system, look at their playbook, process it, and then apply it on the field. From your time representing players over the course of your long career, did you see any constants in the players that turned out to be unbelievable pros from the time that they were prospects and you started working with them?
Yes. What you're looking for, like what I looked for with Patrick Mahomes, was what the player does in adversity. Because inevitably, first of all, most games are coming down to the fourth quarter now in football, and many of them to the last drive. And so here's the question. Quarterback's thrown a couple interceptions. The crowd is booing. The game is getting out of hand. What does he do then? Can he compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and elevate his level of play to take a team to and through victory? Great players have the ability to turn on another gear and be able to tune out everything extraneous. So you look for that. You also look for work habits, because whatever you see in terms of play is just the tip of the iceberg. In other words, the great players, I mean, I have three quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame, Warren Moon, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, and all of them had an exemplary work ethic. So they were always in shape. They were always studying a playbook. They were always trying to get better. And you're looking for qualities like that. And then in our practice, we look for role models, people that will retrace their roots and go back to the high school and develop a scholarship fund at the college, and then a professional foundation that makes a positive impact.
Lee, you've been involved in hundreds, maybe thousands of negotiations throughout your career. What makes for a good negotiation? What makes for a good negotiator?
The ability to listen and draw out another human being and understand the world from the other person's perspective. So if I can tune into the deepest anxieties and fears and greatest hopes and dreams of clients and general managers, and try to craft a win-win scenario where we're maximizing compensation, but at the same time, we're giving the team a result that they can feel good about. Because you do repetitive business over and over again with the same people, and it's all oral. So the point is, we'll make a deal on the phone and announce it publicly. No paper has been signed, unlike most business deals. So everything is about your honesty and your ability to, people can rely on what you say, but it's listening and understanding the needs of the other side and trying to craft a win-win scenario around that.
Lee, The sports world has changed drastically here in the last few years with the adoption of legalized sports wagering in many states. We saw a lifetime ban imposed by the NBA just last week. It feels like there's a delicate balance happening right now between these professional leagues and the sports books. There's a brand new, you know, gravy train pulling up to each league. Yet at the same time, there's a lot of questions about the integrity of the game. What's your take on how all of this has kind of played out, and specifically on a player, a young player in Jontay Porter, who's going to have to sit out a lifetime ban in the NBA?
So for the whole history of sports, there was an impregnable wall erected between gambling and the sport. And this all disintegrated in the last 3 or 4 years. So you have NFL owners owning part of FanDuel. You have the ability to go into Washington Commanders Stadium. And oh, when you're buying a hot dog, guess what? You can also place a bet, like at a racetrack. And you've got Indian casinos advertising in the a stadium and arena. So this has changed quickly. The inherent danger is this. We as fans rely on the fact that we think these are real contests played by two teams trying desperately to win with the same rules and the rest of it. If you have inside information going out from a player with a gambler somehow, if you have shaved performance, so a player gets in trouble, owes the gambler a lot of money, and now he shaves his performance. If you have that type of inside insight into more than the general public has, that's not healthy. Because if all of a sudden people look at Jonte Porter's performance and say, well, he pulled himself out of the game. Was this a real injury or not? Then all of a sudden you have wrestling. And it's the existential threat. And this comes so fast, I don't think people really have processed yet the implications. But when you take the different groups and look at what's happened, you have the disintegration today of major conferences. You have NILs that are bringing money into recruiting from high school to college and then transfer portal. You've got gambling interests. I mean, this is a lot of change in a very short period of time.
Yeah, and a lot of things coming at players that are younger. And I don't know the particulars of Jonte Porter's and his representation here, but I know that agent just lost a client here, essentially, if he's never going to be able to represent him in the NBA. So what should be kind of the role of an agent here? I guess this is more of a business ethics question, Lee, and as far as guiding a young man or woman, and if things are starting to go down a path you don't like, what do you say?
You have to start. The best way to avoid crisis or problems is preparation, and it's prevention. So let me tell you, an NBA player hears from his agent that he's not supposed to associate with gamblers. It's right there in the contract. It's basic language in all the standard player contracts. We tell them to segregate, to sort of not listen to people approaching for information. We tell them. The league tells them. The Players Association tells them. They have security. Man, how they spotted this is there's a thing called a prop bet, which you can bet in while the game is going on whether or not a player is going to score a certain amount of points and whether or not he's going to play a certain amount of minutes. You can bet on anything. And then people bet the over and the under. Well, so there was a certain expectation that Jonte Porter might score a certain amount of points, and that went out the window when he pulled out of the game. So someone had that inside information and bet the under in a disproportionate way. So they picked up the betting pattern. They can continue doing that. They have security people. And then you just have to be vigorous in making sure the players know what's at stake, which is the existential threat to the sport itself and a potential end to their career.
Lee, this was absolutely a treat, a true pleasure to have you on with us this afternoon here in Rochester. We really appreciate you giving us some time out of your day and hope we get the chance to talk to you again real soon.
Thanks. My high school girlfriend came from Rochester, so I've always had a warm spot for it.
Ooh, what high school do you know?
No, not the family moved out to California, but they were from Rochester and the father worked for Kodak.
We're very provincial in this town, Lee. So now that you've said that, guess what? You're from Rochester.
That's it. You're one of us.
Rochesterian, Lee. Welcome. We welcome you with open arms. We're gonna have your name up in the Wall of Fame, and you're one of us. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. This was a thrill. Lee Steinberg. Yeah. It was just fantastic.
Yeah. Good to hear from a guy who has been through what we're talking about here, the NFL draft, countless times, multiple Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I mean, just unbelievable insight on everything that's about to go down at the end of this week.
And that proves our theory. There is always, always, always a Rochester connection.
Always.
Always.
And not surprising, I had a girl, my high school girlfriend was from Rochester. Of course she was.
All right, so
Lee was dating some big-haired Italian girl with a name ending in a vowel.
Where is the family? Where is the family? Tweet it. Like, come on. How did I not know this?
We got Seth Appert standing by, Rochester Americans head coach. The Amherst are playoff bound. Game one against Syracuse at Blue Cross Arena coming up Friday night. We'll preview the series with the coach next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Buffalo Sabres formally introducing their new head coach, also their former head coach, Lindy Ruff today. General Manager Kevin Adams excited.
It just, for me, came back to this is the right coach for this team to win, and to win now, and that's our goal, you know, to win hockey games. That's what matters, and the us knowing each other and the trust and going back to those years, that's great, but it's not really about that. It's about winning.
Of course, we have hockey in the Flower City. The playoffs begin Friday. It's game one against Syracuse. We'll talk to head coach Seth Appert coming up next year in the Sports Bar. Rochester Red Wings playing a place they've never played before. St. Paul, Minnesota, that's tonight. All the action in the NBA is coming up. Three games, Phoenix and Minnesota, Indiana, Milwaukee, Dallas, and the LA Clippers. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Right side for Prowl. Shot. They score. That one may have changed direction in front. It's a 2-2 game. 5:35 into the third period. The Amherst have tied things up. Isak Rosén makes it back-to-back just like that. And the Amherst lead it once more. It's 3-2. And as a result, the Amherst win the game.
Big win Sunday night as the Amherst wrap up their regular season in Utica, getting the 3-2 win, locking down the number 2 seed in the North Division playoffs. We welcome in Amherst head coach Seth Appert for his regular Tuesday afternoon visit here in the sports bar. Seth, congratulations on locking down the 2 seed. We know that we've got Syracuse coming up, and we're going to spend plenty of time talking about this series that could, we don't want it to, but could go as long as 15 days when you consider a 5-game series. But today's a big day for the organization as Lindy Ruff gets announced as the new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres a week after it was announced that Don Granato was let go. And there's, I'm sure, a lot of emotions within the organization here over the course of the last 7 days. How are you holding up, and have you crossed paths with Lindy Ruff in the past?
I'm great. Thank you. You know, we're obviously excited. This is a fun week. You get to come to the rink, and it's playoff week. And you can't buy your way into that. You can't cheat your way into that. You got to earn it. And our group of men have earned that throughout this season, and they've earned the right to have this opportunity. So it's exciting. With Lindy, no, I haven't. I have not crossed paths with him. You know, which is surprising because there's very few coaches I haven't, but I have not with Lindy, but everybody I know that has played for him or worked with him raves about him, the kind of person he is, the kind of competitor he is, the kind of coach he is. So I'm excited that we have him in our organization.
You got a lot of work ahead of you this week, Seth, an opponent that you're certainly familiar with. Before we talk about what's ahead, what did it say about your team there that you get the home ice here in this round because, well, you figure it out a way to come back in Utica. You know, your thoughts on the come-from-behind win against the Comets on Sunday.
Yeah, it was a good week. I mean, you know, you get 5 points in a week against Toronto, Cleveland, and at Utica. You're going to take that. You know, obviously, you'd love to get that 6th point, and then that would be a division title. But at the end of the day, you tie for first place, and you lose on, you know, some technicalities on the seeding, and that's fine. And the Utica win was great. It was wasn't a pretty game. They played extremely hard, as you knew they would, even though their season was done. And you're down 2-1. The ice conditions weren't very good that day. It was kind of sloppy, and you found a way. Brandon Biro was out in the 3rd period, more precautionary reasons. Obviously, the playoffs coming up, and so guys had to step up. And Graham Swaggart slid into that spot, had a great screen that helped tie the game up on Prowsey's goal. Then Roseanne got the winner, his 2nd of the game. But the biggest thing about that game was the last 2.5 minutes. The resilience to come back and get a lead, but we go out there 2.5 minutes ago, they pulled a goalie and we didn't get a clear until 15 seconds left. And, those 5 guys, Ryan Johnson, Ethan Prowl, Mason Yops, Graham Swaggart, Isak Roseanne, did just the yeoman's work. Rosie had an amazing block shot. You know, he came into us a couple years ago as a high end, just a skill guy. And now he's selling out the block shots to win games late. And Graham Swaggart had a 200-foot skate to win a race to negate an icing at the end to kill it off. And to me, that's what this team has become. We've added a lot of grit and resilience to the group.
Seth, you mentioned Biro. You got a couple of extra days here to heal up. What's the health of the team here heading into the series against Syracuse?
The health's pretty good. The extra days are helpful right now. So that play-in series, not being in that play-in series, is extremely beneficial. Biro, you know, will be good to go. We have no concerns about that. So we're getting close to healthy. Kozak's getting closer. Don't know if he'll be available for game 1 or not, but he's trending in the right direction. Murray's still a couple weeks away, but you know, starting to get better and trend in the right direction. So, you know, we're certainly probably as healthy as we've been in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Do you have difficult lineup decisions here, Seth? And kind of going along with that, I know you would welcome the feedback certainly of Kevin Adams and Jason Carmanos, but ultimately this would be your decision, correct?
Yeah, it's my decision, but I also know my marching orders. I think that's important. I worked for a great one of my athletic directors at RPI was fabulous, Jim Knowlton. He was a former Army Ranger, Lieutenant Colonel. And he always said, understand commander's intent. And if you can understand commander's intent, it allows you to do your job with a lot of freedom because you understand what your bosses want from you. He's the AD at Cal now. He's a Power 5 AD. He's an absolute stud of a human. And that's always rung true with me is I know my marching orders. I know what Kevin and Jason want from me. I know that there's a balance in the American League between winning and the lineup is my decision. The lines are my decision. But we also need to develop prospects and certain young kids, it's important that they're in the lineup and going through these experiences.
Seth, accountability was a word we heard a lot last week as players were cleaning out their lockers up in Buffalo. And I know we've had this conversation. I feel like we've had this conversation with you in the past. We heard a lot about it today within the organization as well. As the head coach of the Rochester Americans, what does accountability mean to you?
I think accountability, it's simply doing what you say you're going to do. That's it. Like, what do we say we're going to do as a group of men? What do I say I'm going to do as the coach? And when you're accountable as a coach, then you can have honest conversations with your players, and you can actually say to your players, hey, have I ever lied to you? No. Have I ever misled you? Have I ever told you something I couldn't follow through on? When you can actually say those things to your players because you're accountable to your own words and actions, then that allows you to have those hard conversations to help them hold themselves accountable. Ideally, they're holding themselves accountable individually and collectively as a team. But sometimes a coach does. And accountability doesn't have to mean that you yell and scream or that you have to bench a player for 5 games. With J.J. Paterka, if he wasn't doing things the right way, I might just take him off. If there's a whistle, he might just come off after 15, 20 seconds and leave his two linemates on the ice. That with JJ, that's all you needed. And he was going to go out. He understood the message. He was going to go out and play his tail off after that. So there's a lot of ways to help grow accountability, but I think it's as simple as be a man of your word and let's be men of our word collectively.
We're talking to head coach Seth Amerks. The quest begins Friday night. You earn the home ice, and Seth, kind of almost like an appetizer for this, was last Friday night. What did you think of the crowd there, and how much of a difference does that make for your team and your quest?
It was electric, and it has been down the stretch. Our crowds are amazing, but as great as Friday's was, Wednesday, I think we had 4,800 people or 4,700 people on a Wednesday. That's the best Wednesday crowd I can remember seeing in my years here. I thought the crowd was amazing on Wednesday and helping us. That was a big game against Toronto because Toronto still could have caught us and got past us for that last bye, right? So both home games, the crowds were amazing. Certainly expect it to be a sellout both games this weekend. Knowing now from the last 2 years, the electricity and what this place does at playoff time is pretty special, and I'm excited for it.
Not a ton of surprises. You know this opponent well. How are you scouting Syracuse before you get to this series?
Yeah, I mean, there'll be tweaks and adjustments. I think we made adjustments every game all playoff last year. So 3 rounds worth of, every game. You make a little tweak here, adjust there. They do something different in the neutral zone than you're expecting. You adjust and tweak and go back, and then they adjust. And that's just a chess match. That's playoff hockey. Certainly, these teams have intimate knowledge of each other, both as a team structurally, but also individual players. We're spending this week, we're going about it the same way we normally go about it. We're doing a little bit of a deeper dive, and we're spending this week, showing some things. We had a playoff meeting today where it was mostly players and assistant coaches talking. We got guys like Michael Mersch and Dustin Tokarski that have won Calder Cups. Nathan Paish has won multiple Calder Cups, one as a captain. Vinny Prosper played in the Stanley Cup final, just talking about what playoff hockey is like, what it means to be part of that and how special it is. And that's the way we're going about this week. And we'll go through the way we scout is we show our players threats and opportunities. We show them what are the threats. What does Syracuse do really well that's threatening to us? And then what are our opportunities? What do we think we can exploit? And that's kind of the way we attack a pre-scout.
Yeah, Seth, difficult question, but just one I'm asking more as a fan because playoff hockey, yes, it's great. I'm watching Colorado and Winnipeg. Fantastic. Tuned in last night. I don't like Toronto or Boston, but I was fully invested and was a great game. Why is it, as compared to other sports, that this sport, hockey, takes it to a whole nother level?
Well, I think physically you aren't able to do that 82 straight games, right? I mean, nobody would be healthy enough to play in the playoffs if it was like this for 82 straight. So in football, it doesn't have to elevate because they only play one game a week. So every game is like a playoff game in the NFL. And I think baseball elevates, it just elevates differently. It elevates in the nuances of how important every pitch is. And do you hit and run? Do you steal? Do you bunt? Things of that nature. But hockey is unique in how it ramps up the intensity, the physicality, the passion, the emotion, and the connectivity to the game. I think the team that becomes more emotionally connected and invested in the series earlier usually gets off to a better start. And there's a price. I always like to say to the guys, everybody knows how to win in the playoffs. Because it's everybody knows in hockey since you've been a little kid, these things have been talked about. Just not everybody's willing to pay the price. There's a price to be paid to have a chance to be successful in the playoffs in hockey. And collectively and individually, we have to be willing to pay that price.
When you have the opportunity to catch any of the postseason hockey in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Seth, are there players you're paying attention to? Are there situations and series that catch your eye?
I do like to watch. At night, while I'm watching video of Syracuse or of us, I'll have games on, a lot of times multiple games. The Tampa-Florida series is very intriguing to me. I like the way both teams play. I'm very close to Tampa Bay's coaching staff, so that certainly is one that intrigues me. I think the Boston-Toronto series has got great intrigue. The Western series are awesome, but I can't stay up. I tried to stay up for a little bit last night and watch a little Dallas-Vegas, and I was sleeping by the start of the second period. So the Colorado-Winnipeg game the other day, that felt like the old Smythe Division playoffs when I was a little kid, and I begged my parents to let me stay up and watch Edmonton-Vancouver, and it'd be like 9-7. And it was just fantastic hockey. And that's what that series felt like the other day.
Seth, I've noticed this new merchandise. This is probably not your department, but rolling out with the Amherst gear here for the postseason. Pesky Amherst, they're kind of like, taking that right from kind of your bourbon. How did the whole Pesky Amherst thing start? Did that start from you? Did that start from, the marketing department?
Or, opponent?
Yeah, an opponent. Like how, and I'm sure that's something you would be kind of proud of, I would think.
Yeah, it's fun. That started a couple years ago, the first full season, not the shortened COVID year, that next year when me and Pex and Webby, our lineup was just ravaged by injuries, call-ups, COVID guys being held out. I think we had 57 guys play for us that year.
Jeez.
And it seemed like it didn't matter. Like, we'd call up seven players from the East Coast League. We'd play Nick Boca as our third line center. And we just keep finding ways to get points to be a playoff team that year. And I don't know if it was Webby, Pex, or me, or Steggy, our equipment manager. Like, somewhere in there, like, you just can't kill us. We're like a cockroach. You can't kill us. We're just pesky. We just keep hanging around. We keep getting our jabs in there and just keep hanging around and grabbing points. And so the Pesky Amherst thing kind of originated. The genesis of it was in that year where the lineup was in tatters and you're just having to hold on to find points to try to get into the playoffs that year and get a good lineup back together. And as a coaching staff, we've kind of run with it and support staff and just kind of jokingly referred to it as that sense.
Well, the other slogan that I'm a big fan of this time of year, and I think you can unveil it now that the postseason is here. How often are we going to hear safe as death this postseason, Seth?
Hopefully quite a bit. Hopefully for a couple months. That would be ideal. That's something I do believe. I mean, it's just not the time. It doesn't mean you play stupid fire wagon hockey, but sitting back, playing on your heels, playing safe is not the way to win in the playoffs. And I want our team on our front foot. I want our team in attack mode, both from a mindset standpoint and in our style of play.
Well, I cannot wait. Amherst coming up Friday night, game one, game two, also in Rochester Sunday afternoon. Seth, have you thought about what you're going to you know, say to your team before game one, or is this not the time to you know, bring out the big pregame speech here?
I'm not a big pregame speech guy. It's just not my thing. I think if you got to go to the win one for the Gipper, you usually didn't do a good enough job preparing your group along the way. So there's a few times throughout the year, you know, it's usually more in strange moments of the season or moments that it's an easy letdown game. For something like this, no, I'm going to be myself. I'll find a way to have a short, you know, key message in there. But our pregame meeting at 5:30 on Friday will be 6 minutes or less. And it'll be just driving home what makes us a special team. It won't be anything more crazy than that.
Well, Seth, we're looking forward to a deep playoff run. We know it all gets underway Friday, and then, of course, game two against the Crunch coming up Sunday afternoon at Blue Cross Arena. You can hear all the action here on The Fan Rochester, and our conversation next Tuesday should be an interesting one. Can't wait for it.
Yeah, let's keep this going for another couple months.
I love it.
All right, yeah, we'll book them right till the end of June. Thanks, Seth.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Seth Appert, Rochester Americans head coach, stopping by. Again, Friday night, 7:05, Sunday afternoon, 3:05, puck drop at Blue Cross Arena. Games 1 and 2 of the Amerks Round 2 series against the Syracuse Crunch. All the action here on The Fan Rochester.
My goodness, we go from Lee Steinberg to Seth Appert. Are you not fired up here today, Daniel?
Feeling pretty good. Yeah. I'm getting some reaction on Elon's Twitter as well. You can reach out to us at The Fan Rochester. Jack, not a real name, at The Fan. Lee Steinberg, wow, great get, boys. We listeners are truly listening to a powerhouse sports show. Happy hour is next. I'm going to do 20 minutes of fart jokes. Thanks for listening,
Jack. You know, that's going to end up in the show open tomorrow. Dandelion's going to pull that.
Jack, appreciate you listening. For everybody, all of our regulars who stop by the sports bar every afternoon, we appreciate it. We're not here without you.
Yeah. And by the way, shameless plug, join us coming up Thursday. It's our tradition on draft day to go have a draft at Three Heads Brewing, Atlantic Avenue, neighborhood of the Arts. By the way, it's going to be sunny out that day.
Sunshine so the city's largest outdoor patio. It's open now for the season. We've got the Melonhead Watermelon Sour. Other fine beers on tap as well. And of course, delicious wood-fired pizza there. The food truck, Freddy's food truck, will be there as well, serving up that. But with the weather being nice, yeah, Thursday is going to be a special day once again at our Three Heads Brewing live show in the neighborhood of the Arts. And then we're not content. We're not going to rest on our laurels. We're not going to sit back and say, well, that was fun for round one. We're going to attack it again for round two. Friday, we take the show on the road to the Tap Room at Bill Gray's Chi Lai Avenue location from 3 until 6. We'll have plenty to talk about based on what happens in round one, the Buffalo Bills, and we'll get ready for round two, day two of the NFL draft. Again, the Tap Room at Bill Gray's, the Chi Lai Avenue location, that's 3 to 6 Friday afternoon.
We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
Look forward to seeing you there. Jack, that includes you. Appreciate it. Happy hour is next, and no, we won't do that. We will. Recap what was a busy day at KeyBank as the Buffalo Sabres announced, officially introduced their new head coach / old head coach, Lindy Ruff. How are you feeling, Sabres fans? We want to hear from you. 585-866-4FAN, 866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.